One of the biggest challenges in the early church was trying to grasp what God was doing on the cross. We see that in Paul's letter to the Corinthian church, that proclaiming Christ crucified, that God dies on the cross for our sake, is a stumbling block for Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. The idea that God would come into this world, take on flesh, live among us, and yet go to the cross and to give his life for our sake was just too much for people to really grasp. And yet Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians and throughout all of his works, is very clear that God was doing the work of salvation, and that whatever wisdom comes from this world is foolishness compared to God's wisdom, which is fulfilled and revealed on the cross. This idea of this reversal reverberates in the teachings of Jesus. And the first big opportunity that Jesus has to share a vision of what faithful life is comes to us in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, 6, and 7, these three chapters are a comprehensive vision of moral living and faithfulness to God. And it's telling that this Sermon on the Mount begins with what we call the Beatitudes, a series of statements of who in God's eyes is blessed, who is aligned with the heart of God. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the hungry. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are those who are persecuted for sharing about me. Blessed are you when everyone hates you, because you're following me. This listing of blessings runs contrary to what we tend to think about as being blessed in our lives. Many of us think about a life filled with abundance, having enough money in the bank to be comfortable, having a nice home, maybe a car, maybe nothing too extravagant, a retirement that we can count on, health, having some friends, and maybe some of us want just a little bit to be rich or powerful. There is a, and I'm going to say it, a heresy in our church called the prosperity gospel. How many have heard of that before? And it's this idea which Jesus himself directly addresses in his teachings. But it's this idea that the people who have the most stuff have been given that by God. The people with the power and the wealth. It must be that God has turned God's favor toward them, and that accounts for them being so wealthy, so successful. And frankly, it's a cottage industry. There are preachers and teachers who have churches that are based on the prosperity gospel. And I don't want to cast too many aspersions. But they often fly around on private jets. Just saying. And the only problem with this, of course, is Jesus' words himself. For those who want to be first, you have to be servant of all. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Blessed are the poor. And in the Gospel of Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount, he then says, beware or woe to you who are rich. Jesus, in fact, says it's easier for to find a needle in the haystack or for the camel to walk through the eye of the needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus' vision of what it means to be faithful to God is completely opposite of what the world tells us. The world tells us to admire the powerful and the rich and to aspire to be like them. That if we're given the opportunity, of course we should hoard it for ourselves. Jesus says, blessed are the poor. Blessed are the meek. God's blessing, God's presence is with them. Now, just because Jesus says, blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek, blessed are the persecuted, doesn't automatically make their life better. And part of what faith does is that it equips us to navigate life when it's really hard. When it's hard to find hope. And I suppose if your barometer for hope is how successful you are, then when times get hard, it would be easy to fall into despair. But we proclaim Christ crucified, that what God was doing, when God was most fully revealed to us, it's in the midst of his death on the cross. He empties himself for us. God is most fully known, not at the height of his power or in opulence. God is known in the humiliating, suffering death of the cross. And God is with us when we're poor and meek, when we're working for justice in the world but not getting much progress. God is with us in the struggle. And yes, in the ultimate victory of the cross, death is defeated, the powers of darkness and evil are overcome, and we pray that that kingdom reality would come into this earth as it already is in heaven. But in the meantime, Jesus says, blessed are you when you do God's work in this world. Blessed are you when you stand outside in 20 below temperatures with a whistle against a goon squad. Blessed are you when you stand up for your neighbors and say, no, enough. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the meek. Jesus cast a moral vision for our life of how we ought to think about the most vulnerable in our midst. Not to think of them as needing our help or less than, but that they are especially favored by God. that they are blessed beyond anything we can imagine. This vision, proclaiming Christ crucified, was a stumbling block in the early church. For the Jewish audience, the idea of God taking on flesh and living among them, it was blasphemous. God is too powerful, too awesome, could never demean God's self by living among us. That was the problem for the Jewish audience. And then 1 Corinthians says it's foolishness to the Gentiles. The idea that God would live among us was not a stretch for those who had Greek and Roman gods that covered all aspects of life. But no God would ever die on a cross. No God who was a real God would be humiliated in such a way. And so Paul and the other apostles had their work cut out for them as they proclaimed that what God was doing on the cross was bringing salvation and life to the world. That God's very being was on display in the midst of suffering and death for you and for me. And yet the world's wisdom is foolishness and folly compared to God's wisdom. That God is with us in our journey, with us in the midst of our struggle and our suffering, and with especially those in this world that are poor, that are meek, those who are doing the hard, challenging work of working for peace and justice and yielding very little results. God's blessing is with them and with us. So let us not lose hope. Let us commit ourselves to one another and to God's work in the world, believing and trusting that whatever wisdom this world has, God's wisdom is always greater. It might look a little different, but God's blessings are with us nonetheless. Let us not lose heart. Amen.